The Hebrew Order of David is one of our community's oldest and most established global outreach organizations. Join Stan Clare for the next hour as he explores the issues facing the men in the community. The HOD Hour is a fundraising initiative for the HOD. Welcome to the HOD Hour with Stan Clare. This is the HOD Hour with Stan Clare.
And good evening, and I'm Stan Clare, and tonight we're going to be talking to Henny Foster, motivational speaker, business and life coach, and also a qualified psychologist. I suppose I should have started with qualified psychologist. Unfortunately, we're just having some difficulty connecting with him, but we will do so in the next few minutes. I also have Natalie Solomon, who's not able to make it to the studio because of the continual downpour and the traffic conditions. So she's on the line, and we'll be talking to her. We want to discuss today the importance of positive role models in children's lives. And Natalie, you want to say anything? Good evening. Okay, Natalie's also not connected, so it's just me and the whole of the Johannesburg public. I just want to give you, while we're waiting, I'll give you a couple of updates of what's been happening in the Hebrew Order of David. So firstly, we've had a series of talks, and culminating in quite a few rands collected for purposes which we've been distributing to organizations which are in need. One of them is hospice, and we've given a batch of machines to the people who are at hospice. And the idea is that they will be using those machines. It makes it easier for people to have it in their home. They can connect to this machine, and if they need medicine distributed to them, they can set the timing every hour or every 2 hours or whatever the period is, and the machine will automatically give them the medicine required. We now have both Natalie and Henny online, and so we're going to join them. Welcome, Henny. Welcome, Natalie.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming on the show, Henny. I really do appreciate it. As I said at the start, we're going to be talking about the importance of positive role models in children's lives. I'd just like to mention one little thing that I've always thought was quite apt. So one night a father overheard his son's prayer, "Dear God, please make me the kind of man that my daddy is." Later that night, the father prays, "Please make me the kind of man my son wants me to be." And so I guess that sums up where we want to be in this world. Henny, tell us a little bit about yourself and about this venture into the importance of positive role models, and I guess in connection with children's lives.
Yes, thank you for this opportunity. I'm an educational psychologist who works a lot with families.
Somebody's got their radio on in addition to the Skype.
Okay, let me just.
So we're getting feedback.
Hello. Are you still getting the feedback?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I work a lot with children and teenagers and families, and one of the big things I've noticed in my practice in the last few years is the children who come in to see me, a lot of them come from homes where there are not positive male role models, whether it is families that are divorced with a single mom, or whether it is families where the father works a lot and is not there, or even the father that is physically there but emotionally not supporting his children. And we've started a venture where we offer programs to get fathers to man up and to take their responsibility as fathers seriously, but not just to be a father to your own children, but also to be a positive male role model to children in need around.
So, but in today's times, I mean, where are the heroes? I mean, today, if I look around, all my heroes are falling by the wayside. They're just dropping like flies. What you think is your hero today is tomorrow's villain. And, really, we're in sort of a space where are heroes available? Are role models? Is there a blueprint for what the role model should be, or is it just very haphazard? Or can one define it?
I do think the situation we are sitting in now, I think with social media, where when I grew up BC before cell phones, you had heroes and you had people, and the people that you admired, you only saw the positive things about them. And these days with social media, everyone's lives are exposed. And I think the important thing is to realize that all of us are humans and all of us make mistakes, but it's not about making mistakes. It's about how I recover from the mistakes. And if I am a father who has not been involved in my children's lives or the lives of people around me, I can still recover from that. I can still play a positive role model in teenagers and children's lives.
So in today's times, is there a higher prevalence of single parenting? Is that also contributing?
Yes, I do think there's definitely a higher prevalence of single parenting. I think there's a lot of with divorces happening, separations. I think we are living in an era where in the past, if a relationship was broken, people worked hard on trying to fix it. I think these days people give up quite easily, and when things don't work out the way they want to work out, they just call it quits and they try and move on. So that is definitely playing a big role as well. And unfortunately, with the South African law and things being the way it is, very often the moms end up being the single parents, and the moms end up being the mom figure and the dad figure. And the fathers aren't always as involved as they should be.
Well, presumably the role of mother and father are quite different. Can you give us a sense of what is the role of a father?
I think the role of the father has a lot to do with a lot of research has been done in terms of when in a child's life has the father and the mother got more impact. The mm-hmm. first few years from birth until about the age of 4 or 5, they talk about the mother impact years. And that's where the mom is more nurturing and gives the child the emotional and physical needs that the child needs. From the age of about 5 to the age of about 10, research shows that that's when there is a big father impact years. This is when the father starts teaching the child life skills, when the father starts referring to a child's identity, talking to them about who they are, talking about what are their strengths, what are their weaknesses, and sharing things like that. I think a child also has a father plays a big role in the discipline of the children. When we speak about mother impact and father impact years, it doesn't mean that when it's the mother impact years that the father doesn't play a role, or whether it's dad impact years that the mom doesn't play a role. It's a natural state where in the father impact years, the child has a hunger for male influence in their lives, whether it's a boy or a girl. So there are definitely different roles that the mother and the father fulfills. Moms tend to be more nurturing. Moms tend to very often support the children emotionally. And the fathers tend to talk about a child's identity, their self-concept. They also play a big part in the emotional development of children.
Is that why wives complain that the father comes home and he gets all the attention from the kids, but yet she's been doing all the work all day?
Exactly. And I have a lot of empathy with the moms, because very often the moms end up doing the the bad cop routine, because they're the one that's moaning about the homework not being done and the dishes not being washed and. And then dad comes home and she's had a few hours of moaning and trying to get the children to do things. And then dad comes in and he's the hero of the day. But it's also in that time when the children actually just want some of dad's attention.
Okay, we're trying to appeal to the male side of the audience, because we really don't want to overplay the female role in this whole exercise, because we're a male fraternity as an organization. No, just kidding. But from the point of but if, well, let's give credit where credit's due. Natalie, you were going to say?
I wanted to ask, in terms of the changing roles of fathers, that actually there's been a dramatic shift in terms of the way people father. Can you talk a little bit to that?
Yes, there's a big change. I think when I grew up, it was very much the father that was the alpha male coming home, and everything had to be done at home, and the children had to be obedient and listen to him and things like that. With our reality currently worldwide, very few families can afford to survive on one income. So the mother is also working full-time and the dad's also working full-time. So by the time both parents come home, they've got to share responsibilities in terms of cooking dinner, doing homework, helping the children, supporting them. So the father and the mother roles have become very, very grey, where in the past there were much more definite roles. I think these days the fathers are, many fathers are actually helping more with household and household chores and helping with the children's homework, when in the past that was more seen as the mother's influence and the mother's role.
So we are getting softer, in other words.
Well, more involved.
More involved, not softer. That depends on your definition of softer.
Empowered, actually.
Empowered. But in actual fact, isn't that sowing confusion in the child's mind? I mean, his instinct tells him he's supposed to look up to his father. Meantime, his father's walking around with an apron.
I do think it's not just causing confusion with the child, but it's causing confusion with the parents. Because in an era where we are parenting, we didn't have the role models of how a father should be. My dad got home at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock the evening, and everything was done. And now I come home and I have to help with cooking dinner, homework and things. And then I start feeling that I've had a bad deal. But what I'm forgetting is my wife's also working full time. Her role model as a mom was, her mom was always at home, and her mom had a lot of involvement in her life. Now she's coming home and she's feeling guilty because she hasn't spent as much time with the children as she's wanted to. So I think as parents, we are very often confused. And I think as parents, we need to sit down explicitly and talk to each other and say, okay, but this is what I'm capable of, this is what I can help with, this is what I will take responsibility for with the children.
So,
and I do think it's all about communication. If I have got open communication with my children, I can still help with dinner and still help with homework, but then they're not going to see me as being softer. They're actually going to see me as being involved, and they'll appreciate that.
If anyone wants to get involved in this conversation, 061-895-1019, that's the Telegram line, SMS 34519, send us your comments if you want to weigh in on the conversation. Natalie, you were talking. I interrupted you again.
It's okay. So at some level, I guess we understand that, our primary caretaker roles are quite gender fluid, that it doesn't necessarily have to mean that a mother has specific ways of doing things that are only allowed for a mother, that there are different ways of being with children that's not related to gender. But what the research has suggested that as fathers have become more involved, we've actually seen a very positive impact in terms of children's overall levels of security, their overall levels even of academic success. So there's a lot of suggestion that this increased support and level of engagement has great positive outcome.
Is there empirical science to back that up?
Yes,
absolutely.
There's the research that has been done is that when a father is involved in their children's lives, on all aspects of their development, for example, cognitive development, research has showed that a child is cognitively more competent at the age of 6 months of where the father is involved. There's a big link between even academic achievement and where the father is involved in their lives. There's even research saying that by the age of 3, a child who comes out of a house where a father is involved in their life have got higher IQs by the age of 3. There's a very strong correlation between a father who's involved and their child having much better future career prospects. If we look at things like emotional development, that a child who has an involved father has a greater tolerance and ability to handle strange and stressful and frustrating situations. They tend to experience less emotional distress. And a child whose father is involved has but few expressions of negative emotions, such as feeling fearful and guilty. There are, in terms of social development, a child who comes from a family where the father is involved, they see themselves as being dependable, trusting, practical, friendly. They score very well on measures of self-acceptance and personal and social adjustment. They tend to have more friends and better friendships of a child whose father is involved. Even in terms of physical development, there's a very strong link between children who are admitted to the emergency departments of hospitals in terms of asthma attacks, in terms of things like that are...
Anxiety, is that all to do with anxiety or...?
All to do with anxiety. There's... because the fathers are not involved, the children don't feel secure. They don't know where dad is. They don't know if dad's around. They say where fathers are involved and the fathers are more nurturing and warm, the children experience less tension and fewer emotional reactions during play. They have got less health-related issues. They are less, there's less diagnosis of asthma and less anxiety and less depression. Once again, I'm not saying this is a father who is at home. It's about an involved father, because there's a big difference between a father that's there in skin and bone, but they're not involved with the child's life.
So we're talking to Henny Foster. He's a qualified psychologist, a motivational speaker. He's a business and life coach. He works with companies, with individuals. And we are talking about the importance of positive role models in children's lives and their upbringing. And the role of each of the parents, I guess, in bringing up the child. But I really would like to know, if you go down the years, so if you're talking about parents and then their children, and then the children become parents and their children, so surely where's the information coming from? Where's the guideline? If you said about your father was a different father to what you are, my kids are certainly different parents to their kids than I was. So where's the guideline? How does one, is there a rule book? Is there a guideline, a manual? Is this guided by feminism, the women trying to dominate the marriage and et cetera, et cetera?
if there were guidelines in a handbook, this world would be a much, much better place, I'm sure. Unfortunately, there's not a guideline that comes with children. But I do think one of the big things is where fathers are actually supporting each other. Because where you've got friends of male friends who support you in terms of being a better father, in terms of giving you the support you need. It's also about communication and listening to what your partner needs, listening to what your wife needs, listening to what your children need. So there's unfortunately not guidelines, but there's so many resources out there and organizations out there and things out there that you can equip yourself with and upskill to be more involved in your child's life.
Some of it is field work. Some of it is learning by experience. There is parenting from intuition. There is kind of gaining reflective knowledge about one's way of being in the world. And then just recognizing the impact that has on one's way of parenting. And there's not supposed to be one way of doing things. There's many ways, and each has a consequence, regardless of how one parents.
But you don't know that until it's too late. I mean, if you're doing it over and over until you get it right, that's kind of not really, you know, time goes by, and by the time you've got it right, the child's already off to get married.
There is no perfect, but I think there is parenting with intention and with insight. And it's a capacity to reflect on the impact of one's behavior and also to try and understand children's behavior and meaning. So not necessarily, so really kind of tuning in to what's happening, and that's giving you feedback as to how to parent further.
And I do think it's never too late. I've seen families, I've seen children where the dad wasn't involved and where the dad was actually emotionally not there, even to a certain extent a bit abusive. And where the children were adults themselves, and the father realizing the negative impact he had, and just the fact that the father went down on his knees and asked forgiveness and said, "I'm sorry for what I've done." Just the fact that they apologize and try to mend their relationship with the adult children had such a huge impact on how those children were parenting their own children. So yes, it's very often we think, oh my goodness, my child's now 15. It's now too late. Within 3 or 4 years, they're out of the house. But it's never too late for me to get involved in my child's life and just to take an interest. And what I like about what Natalie is saying is parenting with intention is it can be small things. One of the things that I try and do is in the mornings it takes us about half an hour to 45 minutes in the traffic on the way to school. And in the past, that was my ideal time to sit up and catch up on emails and WhatsApps while I'm in the traffic. But a few years ago, I decided now I'm going to put my phone down. And in that time that we actually connect and I hear what's happening in my daughter's lives, I hear what they're chatting about. We spend that time reading out of the Bible. We spend that time chatting about things. We spend that time connecting. And it's just about doing things more intentionally. In the evenings coming home, instead of turning on the TV and having sat in front of the TV, is to sit down around the dining room table and actually have a meal together and to find out what's happening in each other's lives. What did they enjoy about the day? What did they not enjoy about the day? So very often it's the small things. When I think back to my childhood and my friends talk about their childhood, it's the small things. It's the spending time with a family that you remember. It's not the other thing. So it's just small things that can make a change to be more involved in your child's life.
And Henny, you talk about raising your daughters, but I want to ask you, is there a different role that fathers have for daughters than they do for sons?
Definitely. The scary part is that very often they say daughters look for a partner in terms of how their own father was. So that's very scary to me, because very often I think, do I want my daughters to end up with a partner like I am? And hopefully at the end of the day I can say yes. But I think fathers to boys play a very big role in terms of their own identity as being a man, as what a man can do, should do, shouldn't do. In terms of being a father to daughters, I must also be a role model to them, to show them, how should a man treat them? How should he have respect for women? How should he man up and take his responsibilities? So there is a different roles and different responsibilities for boys and girls. And I think the era that we are staying in, as you said, Natalie, it's gender fluid. And very often I can have discussions with my daughters that my dad never used to have with me. So it's about being intentional and also realizing, but what does my child need? Whether it's a boy or a girl at that age, at this stage, what do they need? And being there for them.
So this is the Hebrew Order of David. It's the Hebrew HID hour. We have Dr. Natalie Solomon on the one hand talking. She helps with this, with the show, sort of co-produces with me. And then we're talking to our guest, who's Henny Forster, a motivational speaker, a qualified psychologist. And we're talking about the softening of the male in society and the drop in finding real heroes. And marriage, where the roles of the parents have merged, and I see just confusion. Sorry, am I wrong?
I think so.
I think the world is moving in directions which we never thought were possible.
That is very true, and I've been involved as a psychologist in schools for the past 17, 18 years. And what's always been interesting for me is, and unfortunately, the majority of people, educators, therapists working in schools are female. And the schools where I've been involved in, where you've got a few male teachers, positive male teachers, or myself being a man, being a psychologist at a school, it's just amazing when I walk into a classroom how the boys tend to want my attention. I remember one day walking into grade one class, it was winter, they were all wearing this school uniform, and the one little boy had his tie skewed. And I said to him, "Can I fix your tie for you?" And I fixed his tie, and then I looked at all 15 other boys in the class and on purpose pulled their tie skew just to get this man to actually give them attention.
Because was it just to irritate you, or was it to get attention?
I think it was to get attention. And that's why I really feel we need more men in education, because there's such a big need from children, boys and girls, to have a positive male role model in their lives. Because unfortunately, in the era that we are staying, in the era that we are living, parents are working hard. Dads, moms are only coming home at later in the evening. So they've got a hunger to have attention from men, positive attention from men.
Isn't it because time has become a rarity? Time is scarce. So actually you're working longer hours. You, and when you come home as a parent, I guess you've got to do a lot of work to prepare the meal, to get kids ready for bed, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, whatever you're going to be doing is condensed into less time. And, so it needs to be meaningful.
Definitely. And it's about being intentional about it, as Natalie said. It's about making a decision. I'm not now going to sit down and catch up on Facebook and Instagram and on TV. I can do that when the children are in bed. It's about actually sitting down and taking an interest in their lives and saying, but what's happening is, do you need help with your homework? Is it something you don't understand? So it's about realizing that we do have less time in comparison to what our parents had, but I've got to make the best use of the time that I have.
So let me turn this around a little bit and look at it from another point of view. So today you're a kid and you watch TV, I guess, as much as you possibly can. And what you see on TV is men in certain roles and women in similar roles. And you're looking to see who's the leader, who's making an impact. And so at a level of what you see and what you perceive in life is mirroring what's actually happening, is that there's a merging of all of those work, of all that work and all the things that go on in life as what a person would see. Even in the military, they're bringing women into the military. I was looking at the TV the other day on BBC, and they were interviewing the chief cop in one of the cities, and it's a lady. So already, you know, those what your traditional roles have merged into something which is pretty alien to older generations. But is it changing the way that kids think today, or are they thinking completely differently about women's roles and men's roles, and therefore, by the same token, are heroes? Is a man no longer necessarily the hero of a young boy, and a mother not necessarily the hero of the young girl? And where does it end and where does it begin?
That's a difficult question, because we are living in a society where gender roles have undergone a huge revolution in the last many years. What I'm seeing with children is that boys tend to still want male heroes, whether it is the rugby player or the cricket player. The boys come into my practice and they chat to me about a man teacher at school that they've got respect for. The girls also want to be the netball player or the person she sees. But in reality, I think it's where we in the past have seen a typical female role as being the person that makes food. Many of the best chefs in the world are men. So I think it's about me having a paradigm shift in my own head. And I don't think it's about looking for, it's about looking for qualities in heroes. It's looking for qualities in other people that my child can identify with.
I think that's agreed. That in some ways it's about quality of care rather gender of care. I think there is something specific that males can bring into children's lives that can have a different flavor, but it's not exclusive to that's only what males do. Females can also transgress or move into those realms as well. But what's interesting is they looked at a number of things in terms of, first of all, the way fathers play with children. And they said that the way that fathers play is often quite a rough and tumbling and big movements, and that has a big impact on children's visual perceptual development in a way that's typically different to how mothers might play. They also spoke about the vocabulary that fathers typically use. And the research suggests that fathers tended to use quite scientific and factual language, and that even at a vocab level, there was an impact. having said that, it's still not specific. It doesn't always mean that just because it's a male, that's their way of that's the only way to parent. I mean, I think there's movement between both roles.
Is the role of the parents actually diminishing in the way that a child is brought up? Because if you look at things that are going on around the world, there's a big upsurge in crime, in different activities from younger people, and it looks to me as if a lot of these people actually lack direction. And that surely has got to come from the home. You're not going to get that from school, unless the school is super disciplinary. But as you know, a lot of these kids they have nothing to fall back on. They've got nobody to look for guidance.
And I think what's happening is that a child feels secure with boundaries. A child feels secure when they know what is right and wrong. And when I am growing up in a house where there is no discipline and there is no definite boundaries in terms of right and wrong, it makes it difficult for the child, and the child feels more insecure. And it's important that I then man up as a figure and actually support my wife in terms of discipline, and actually say to my children that behavior is not acceptable. And this comes back to the question that has been asked for so many years. Do children actually get education at school, or should it start at home? And it's definitely, everything should start at home. And unfortunately, there are many children who are growing up in parentless homes, never mind fatherless homes. So the education or the schooling is the only exposure they get to what is right and wrong. And very often you find behavioral difficulties, behavioral problems at school is very closely linked to families where the parents aren't as involved as they should be.
And what do
we do in those cases, Henny? I mean, in terms of fatherless homes, what is the role of community to step up and in those spaces?
It definitely takes a village to raise a child. And I've seen in my own practice where I've seen girls and boys grow up in houses where either the father, mom and dad's divorced, or the father's passed away. But there is an uncle, there is a family member, there is a community member that decides to actually support that single mother. There are organizations out there that one of them called the Character Company, and the Character Company actually to once a week to sit with children, specifically at this stage, boys, who grow up in homes where the fathers aren't involved or are fatherless. And just for an hour a week, 2 hours a week, they help us home, or they're taking our paintballing or something like that to help the children.
Is that a South African-based program?
That's a South African-based program, yeah. The charactercompany.co.za.
Tell me, can we just move into a slightly different view of this? And can we talk about mentoring, not in the sense that somebody will physically go and mentor somebody, but I've always felt that people in business or people in whatever they do should be able to talk to somebody who could mentor them through whatever it is. And I think I'm sure that most people say they'll go back in their lives and certain people have influenced them. I'm not talking about parents. I'm talking about now if you find people in business or people who would look after you and just kind of guide you through things that you might want to talk about in life, which possibly you can only discuss at a certain level. And I think that it starts from the home. If you're able to communicate with your parents and then going on, you could find people through your career. Like if you look at the New York police, you always see they talk about this particular cop as a person who he calls his rabbi, and he's the guy that mentors him through, you know, he's an elder, bit more experienced person, and he shows him the ropes. Possibly we're lacking in that, in finding those kind of mentors, natural mentors in life, rather than going to look for somebody or paying to do your, to help you with the process or whatever it is, but just to naturally, on a friendly basis, help you through life.
That's really important. We all need mentors in life. And that children have those mentors, whether it's their own parents or whether it's someone else in the community, whether it's when they start working to have someone that they can get advice from or just
show an interest in them. So somebody who would kind of show an interest in them.
Show an interest with them and just give them guidelines. I think as fathers, I also need mentors. I also need that I can wait for this in terms of what can I do? How can you help me? And I think children,
I think we're losing you.
Guidance. Go to spend some time with him.
Yes. Okay. So this is the Hebrew Order of David, the HRD Hour. We're talking to Henny Foster. He's a motivational speaker, and you can hear he's a thoughtful person, a qualified psychologist with training in, you know, and how to deal with people and at all levels, from kids to companies and so on. So that's where he works. And also talking to Dr. Natalie Solomon, who's also a psychologist. And we're discussing the importance of positive role models in children's lives. I think, unfortunately, the word positive is critical here, because I don't think that every person has a positive role model. They have role models, but they certainly aren't always positive.
That is unfortunately so true. And just coming back to, in terms of boys and girls, what do they need? What I'm seeing these days in my practice is that the boys tend to end up playing games, online games, that's actually demeaning to women. I mean, the games, I'm not going to mention names, but games that are actually, in order to win, you've got to kill someone. In order to win, you've got to steal a car. In order to win, you've actually got to outplay someone else and kill them. And the boys are gravitating towards that. And if there isn't someone giving them guidelines to say, but this is not acceptable, this is not the way it should be done, that's going to become part of the value system.
Well, that's a different kind of a disciplinary control. But I think that today, I'm not too sure that spare the rod is the way to go, because, you know, I don't say you have to beat the child into submission, but you certainly need to impose some sort of discipline. And I think a lot of the discipline is lost when, you know, they can just sit and watch what's on TV or what's on their cell phone or their iPad, whatever it is. It just flies out of the window because they're looking at other things, and that's what they understand and that's what they know. And that's actually what they relate to.
Yes, if there's not discipline and guidelines from the house, the children are unfortunately going to take on the value system of the things that they are being exposed to and the things that they choose to gravitate towards. And that's why discipline and boundaries and guidelines are so necessary.
So my parents, in terms of how one
disciplines is so important too. So I know you're speaking about don't spare the rod, but in fact, again, research suggests that we teach by modeling, and that in some ways, when we hit, all we do is model using violence as a means of control. And that actually what we're trying to teach children is a way of understanding limits, but not in a way that's going to impinge on their sense of safety. And so definitely discipline is absolutely crucial, but we have to be thoughtful around the way in which we discipline.
My father used to tell me if I came home and told him that I had cuts at school, then you would double up on the punishment. So I never came home and told him what went on.
But the times are changing.
What I'm seeing in my practice is, parents come to me with a child and they say to me, this child is throwing tantrums and has behavior difficulties, and I don't know where that comes from. And after a session or two with the child, I call the parents in and I say, I know exactly where the tantrums come from. You as parents are throwing tantrums at home, so you're actually modeling for the child how they should handle situations. So it's about modeling the behavior you want in your child. And when you do make a mistake, to be able to admit it and to apologize for it and to say, but I handled that situation wrongly.
But when you come home from, I mean, the average, we're talking about maybe some sort of a more privileged society, but if you're talking about the average person or the average family, there's not really that much opportunity. The stresses outside, the late hours, the traveling, everything that goes with it makes it more and more difficult. And then to come home and be faced with unruly kids must surely take it out of you. So I imagine that a lot of this is as a reaction to the day. And you come home and, you know, it's very difficult to switch off and start on a different level when you get home. I'm sure that there's many people who come home in a relaxed frame of mind and you know, all's fine and rosy. But when there's many, many people, and I'm sure in the majority who are under tremendous stress, hardworking, come home, just want to, you know, get home and put their heads down or, you know, have something to eat or something. And then they've got to start all over again. The kids all ready for action, but you aren't. So that must play a big role.
So self-care is critical, and I think that it's not a nice to have, but an imperative, that actually as parents, you can't actually feed from an empty vessel, and that when we're feeling drained, we have nothing to give. And so it really is important to create a life where we're not getting to running on empty.
That's not always possible. I mean, that's a luxury.
No, true.
Okay, so
it's not always possible. But the other thing that we've always got to remember is children have never asked to be here. And as a parent, if I've had a stressful day, it is difficult coming home and managing them. But very often the tantrums I'm seeing at home is actually just a call for attention from my child, just wanting them
See
me, and it's then to say, but listen, it's now time for me to actually pass all the stresses and just spend time with my child. Then their behavior will improve because they're getting the attention they want.
And the child is thinking, you know, here's this guy, I've waited for him all day, comes home and treats me like I'm the dog.
Exactly.
We've been talking to Henny Foster. This is the HOD Hour, the Hebrew Order of David, 15 years old male fraternity, international male fraternity. We also are talking to Dr. Natalie Solomon, who's also a psychologist. And, Henny, in the last few minutes, we've only got a minute or two. So give us the elevator pitch of what you do, who you are, any contact details. People want to talk to you. Tell us something about yourself. We know you've got kids. well-disciplined kids.
Definitely. Luckily, you can't see my face over radio, so you'll never know what I look like when I'm in the shopping mall with you. But I'm a educational psychologist. I work with children and teenagers and families. I also do corporate work, doing training and things. Contact details, you can contact me at Henny, that's HENNIE, at Mosaic, MOSAIEK.com. Or my practice number is 063-040-9463. I repeat, 063-040-9463.
So we've had an interesting hour. The time just flies. It's a rainy Johannesburg. I'm sure most parents are home looking after their kids and engaging with them, having a nice comfortable meal, and you know, all harmony rules. And it's coming to the end of the week, and as we say, good Shabbos, and have a wonderful weekend. And thank you, Henny, and thank you, Natalie, for a very interesting hour. Good night.
Thank you.
Very much.
Good night.